Boris Johnson would throw unionism under a bus if it suits him. That's from the former Northern Ireland Secretary of State, Peter Hayne, writing in the Belfast Telegraph today, and he's with me this morning. Good morning, Peter.
Morning.
Good morning. Long time no speak.
Indeed, yeah. Good to talk to you.
So, you think Boris Johnson, a unionist, would throw unionism under the bus? It's interesting.
He would throw anything under a bus in order to get out at the end of October from the European Union, regardless of the consequences. And it's obvious that that's the case, because if you look at the recent spat he's had, not just with the governor of the Bank of England, who's had to correct him on the consequences of just falling out, and the extra tariffs that that would impose, which should, of course, be the case across the Northern Ireland border as well. But he's been corrected by his former colleague in cabinet, the Liam Fox, the trade secretary, the cabinet secretary for international trade. So he's basically flying by the seat of his pants here, making it up as he goes along. And he clearly does not understand the politics of the island of Ireland and doesn't understand the sensitivity, the history, the importance of keeping the Irish border open and free as it is now, so that it's invisible, because that has been crucial in cementing the peace process and in taking forward the Good Friday Agreement process. And when he compared the Irish border, as he did, to the border between two London boroughs, it's quite obvious that he hasn't a clue about the realities of Northern Ireland's politics. And yes, of course, the Conservative Party preaches unionism, you would expect it to defend the union, but I don't think that's certain at all with Boris Johnson. I think he'd do anything to crash out of the European Union at the end of October, regardless of the consequences for Ireland, its peace process, the island of Ireland, well, Northern Ireland, or his erstwhile allies, the unionists, clearly, in Northern Ireland.
Clearly, Peter, you're no fan of Boris Johnson, but at the end of the day, he will be calculating the numbers in the House of Commons. He will know that it is better for him if he has DUP support, and that leverage that the DUP has will mean that he won't throw unionism under the bus.
Well, he's running down the clock. Clearly, the whole Conservative agenda under Boris Johnson is to get to the point where Parliament, try as it will do, to block a no-deal Brexit. And what that means is that there's no agreement with the European Union on our future trading arrangements, and that means that we would simply fall out and go immediately into World Trade Organization rules, which means very high tariffs, including for agriculture goods passing to and from the across the Irish border, milk products and so on, which happens every day at a great rate and in great quantities. It would mean that's the case for all agricultural products, and indeed all exports and imports from the European Union and elsewhere, as whilst, and this could take years, an alternative deal under him was negotiated, if that's possible. Now, my point is this about the Irish border and the position of unionists in it, is that he clearly wants Brexit at any costs, and a no-deal Brexit, he's fine with that, regardless of the horrendous consequences for jobs and prosperity.
And he says the Irish border can be Brexit.
Well, I cannot see what else is possible, and nor does anybody, any other commentator, any other politician, any other individual who's aware of the detail, I cannot see how he can achieve a deal with the European Union that is substantially different to the one Theresa May negotiated, and which was rejected three times by Parliament, including the DUP voting against it. I can't see how there is time. And Parliament goes into recess pretty well the day he gets elected, if he wins the Tory election contest, as everybody expects. So he'd be Prime Minister. Parliament would then be in recess. It doesn't come back until early September. There are a couple of weeks before the conference recess, which in turn takes 3 weeks, and then we're a couple of weeks before the end of, several weeks before the end of October. There just isn't time to negotiate an alternative deal, get parliamentary consent for it, and meet this inflexible deadline of the end of October, which Boris Johnson's nailed himself to. And so, you know, if he's prepared to do that, then I could see, for example, how in order to get that but keep an open border, he would say, right, well, Northern Ireland is in a different economic relationship to the European Union from the rest of the United Kingdom, and that, of course, is unacceptable to unionism.
Well, it was acceptable to a large part of unionism, wasn't it? It was acceptable to Theresa May. In fact, it was...
I think we're at cross lines here. It wasn't acceptable to Theresa May, and certainly not to the DUP, that Northern Ireland had a different relationship to the European Union from the rest of the UK. It was precisely because of that that the backstop was brought in, namely that the whole of the UK, including Northern Ireland, would remain within the European Union Single Market and Customs Union, which is the key to keeping an open border. If you don't have exactly the same regulatory arrangements, and technology, frankly, is an irrelevance in this. If you don't have exactly the same regulatory arrangements, whether it's on foodstuffs, on livestock health, or on manufacturing products, if you don't have the same arrangements both sides of the border, then you have a hard border of some kind. And so already, that issue is in the frame, and I could see Boris Johnson simply saying, right, what's more important to me? Brexit at any cost at the end of October is more important to me. I'll keep the Irish border open, but I'll throw unionism under a bus by simply saying, well, Northern Ireland's going to have a very different arrangement from the rest of the United Kingdom.
How would the DUP react to that?
Well, they wouldn't like it, of course, and nor would any of the unionist parties. And I quite understand that from their point of view. I quite understand that. It's perfectly predictable that that would be the case. But I cannot see how you can square the circle between his insistence on going for the end of October, regardless of whether there's a deal or not, and actually keeping the Northern Ireland border open. I just cannot see how that can happen without putting Northern Ireland in a different place in its relationship with the rest of the Union, and in particular the Irish Republic, from the rest of the UK.
How is it anti-unionists or against the interests of Northern Ireland for Northern Ireland to have special status, for Northern Ireland to be different from the rest of the UK, and different in that it wins both ways, that it has special status with the EU, better status than the rest of the UK, and therefore Northern Ireland can prosper more than the rest of the UK. And there might be some business owners and indeed people who want jobs in Northern Ireland saying, to hell with England, Scotland and Wales, not in terms of the Northern Ireland's status in the UK, but let's prioritise Northern Ireland. Let's have Northern Ireland having the ability to trade with both the EU and the rest of the UK on different terms from England, and we'll beat them competing for jobs and businesses.
There's a very strong case for that, and that argument has already been made by some in the business community and elsewhere in Northern Ireland, but that is not acceptable to the DUP, and I don't think it's acceptable to the Ulster Unionist Party either.
Is it acceptable to you?
Well, look, what I want to see, I'm opposed to Brexit, full stop. I think it's a disaster for the island of Ireland, and I think it's a disaster for the whole of the United Kingdom. And the big flaw in the Brexit case is that they've never had a plan. If they'd had an honest plan that was explained to people, and 3 years later they still don't have one, which is why we're in this mess. So I'm opposed to Brexit, and I made no secret about that. It's not, you know, I'm simply pointing out the consequences for unionism and the DUP if Northern Ireland was left in a separate relationship. It would work, actually, for Northern Ireland in business terms and in other terms, in terms of free movement, in getting health care either side of the border, educational opportunity either side of the border, all of those things, including livestock and milk processing and so on, which go across the border every day, multiply. Thousands of times. Obviously, there's a strong case for that and a logic for it, but it is not acceptable to the DUP. And I think that they will come up against Boris Johnson, who will, as I say, throw them under a bus rather than block his obsession with and his dogma. And the problem is that dogma has determined everything that has happened so far from the Conservative Party. The dogma to simply get out of the European Union, come what may, at the end of October, I think is very dangerous for unionism, just as it is dangerous for the whole the island of Ireland.
What you're about, Peter, is you want another referendum, but you ain't going to get one. It's way past that now.
Well, who knows? I do want another referendum because I think people were... The vote in 2016 has to be respected because people voted to leave the European Union. What they didn't vote for was anything else, any alternative arrangement. And I think whatever comes out of a Boris Johnson premiership in terms of the way forward in relation to the European Union, the consequences of Brexit, the Brexit deal or no deal, should be put back to the people. I think people should have a vote on whether this is really what they wanted when they gave the government a kicking, and there were a lot of motives involved in 2016 across the United Kingdom. Yeah. So I'm not contesting the results of that referendum. I am saying that it's one thing to say we're going to leave.
You're trying to overturn the result.
It's another thing to say, where are we going? And we haven't a clue. Still, weeks away from the end of October, we still do not have a clue where we're going to end up.
Boris Johnson
does. Now, how can
that
be right?
Boris Johnson says,
but he doesn't. But he doesn't, because he doesn't know what will flow from that. He can't explain in logical terms what will actually be the consequence of just crashing out. Yes, he wants to leave. That's his dogma. That's his obsession. But he can't paint a picture what it'll mean for businesses in Northern Ireland, what it'll mean for farmers, what it'll mean for those who are who've actually got farms straddling the border and whose livestock crosses it and could be under different regulatory arrangements once we just crash out. He can't explain any of that. He doesn't have any answers to any of that, and he never has.
It's interesting you haven't mentioned Jeremy Hunt once. Do you think he has no chance? Of course, it's down to the final two, Boris and Jeremy Hunt, Boris Johnson and Jeremy Hunt. Do you think he's no chance?
Well, I don't know, and I don't suppose you do either. But it seems to me, judging by the ballots and the surveys that have been done by Conservative Party members, that Boris is going to win at a canter. And I don't think there's any serious commentator who doubts that. Now, things can change. It may be that as Conservative members actually come to vote, they consider and pause whether a Boris Johnson roller coaster, no idea where we're going, prime ministership is sensible for the country, or whether a more measured approach under Jeremy Hunt is. I mean, frankly, they're both no good, but at least Hunt has got a sense, has got some common sense and reality about him, not least on the future of the Irish border and Northern Ireland.
Peter, thank you very much indeed. Nice to talk to you.
Good to talk to you again.
Bye-bye.
Bye.